This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good Tuesday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny. It's April 23rd, 2024. Happy to have you with us. Got a great show planned for you today, previewing Caps Rangers Game 2, getting ready for Thursday night's NFL draft. Speaking of which, we'll be at Dudley's Sports Bar out in Shirlington for a live draft show 7 to 11. Come hang out with me and Danny and the crew from Odyssey Sports. Should be a really good time.
What's up, bud? Good little sports night last night. Not much happening in D.C., but a couple, a buzzer beater in the NBA, a little bit of controversy for that first round of the postseason. That was good. Nice little get ready for this evening. That's back in action, as you mentioned. Capitals, I don't want to say it's a must-win game. It'd be really nice to win it, though. Wouldn't it be really good if they won it?
Would be a blast. You're right, the playoffs last night. Both the NBA and the NHL were great. Mm-hmm. In the NBA, you had two games that came down to the wire. What the Knicks did to overcome Philly in the waning seconds was incredible, and that might have been the second best game of the evening because Joker went 27, 20, and 10. He's gone 20, 20, and 10 four times in the playoffs already in his career. Wilt did that twice, and nobody else, I don't think, has done it multiple times. But LeBron, aside from missing the three-pointer at the horn, did pretty much everything you can do, and it wasn't enough. That series will be over soon after it began because the Nuggets are just too good. Watching that game last night, I kind of came to the conclusion no one's going to beat that team. They are great. They didn't play a particularly good game. Like, they got beat for majority, I would say 37, 40 minutes. They just weren't really playing at their apex, and they still beat the Lakers last night.
Yeah, their ceiling is so good. Like, if you don't beat them last night, if you're the Lakers, to your point, you ain't beating them, right? I mean, that's your best chance. You're up 20 points second half. I know leads in basketball with the shot clock, three-point shot, things are different now. But if you couldn't slay the dragon last night, you're not slaying it.
I love a buzzer beater in the NBA playoffs. Jamal Murray, so clutch, off the bounce. I don't know how you're supposed to defend in the NBA. The shot-making's just too good. They had basically a 7-plus footer with the wingspan
of a condor.
Another creature that isn't a human being. Standing in front of him, he goes fade away off the bounce on the baseline. There's nothing you can do about it, and he sinks it at the horn.
Murray makes a move. There's a the Nuggets have won!
That's one way to turn a disappointing performance into one that you'll remember for a while. Kevin Harlan.
Put it into my veins, the Kevin Harlan.
Kevin Harlan's call was great last night. We got a double bang call from Mike Breen last night as well. In Knicks game against Philly. He's awesome.
He's so good.
I sleep on him a little bit because Kevin Harlan I get a lot of in the NFL, both radio and television. He's on CBS. He's on Westwood One. There's just a little more Kevin Harlan in my life. But Breen,
He is a great basketball
special
announcer. I mean, he's great.
And we got the very rare, the once every now and then,
every so often,
double bang call from him last night. Normally the big shot goes bang, but then bang, bang. Oh, it was so good.
It was a 10.
But NHL playoffs were really good as well. Austin Matthews, who scored 69 times this season.
Mm.
Pretty nice total.
Nice total.
He scores his first playoff goal in a series with Boston. Toronto gets even 1-1 going home. That's the script we're looking for the Capitals, isn't it?
Let's get one of them.
Road team, lost game one, wins game two, dramatic fashion in Boston, steals home ice, headed home now for what is potentially five of the final seven.
Give me three periods like the first period from the other night. Maybe not with like six penalties, which is what was called and what happened. But I want not much offense. It's got to be even, Steven. Let's have the run of play. Let's frustrate those New York Rangers who have a lot more firepower than you do. If there's like a few goals in this game, that's bad for old Washington. Not what we're used to, quite frankly. We're used to them being the high-flying offensive juggernaut. That ain't the case now. Let's muck it up and make it gross.
7 o'clock puck drop at MSG tonight. We'll get a full preview for the Caps and the Rangers a couple different times today for you. All of our Caps playoff coverage sponsored by our friends at PVI Office Furniture. You can get to their showroom in Frederick, Maryland today to score big with their Power Play playoff special. 20% off your new office chair. Fast, excellent, affordable. Business grows with PVI. But Danny, we got to start. We are now 2 days away, believe it or not, from the NFL draft. You can't say this thing jumped up on you. It feels like we've been talking about this for months. And here we are, finally, at the finish line. Thursday night, the Commanders will be on the clock at number two. The heavy favorite in all sports books right now, all betting markets, is Jaden Daniels. If you're reading tea leaves, listening to reporters like Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, they are all suggesting, while they all admit that they don't have any confirmation and aren't being told anything from the team, they're all suggesting that putting a puzzle together, best they can tell, it'll be Jaden Daniels. The question is, are the Commanders keeping a really good secret? Could they shock everyone and announce Drake May's name? Is it possible that J.J. McCarthy ends up going number two overall to Washington? Can you imagine, by the way, not just at Dudley's where we'll be broadcasting and a bunch of Commanders fans will be watching, but in-house at the draft in Detroit, all over the country, what the response will be if they were the best secret keepers in America and they end up picking J.J. McCarthy number two?
The whiplash,
two.
Yeah, can you imagine? I mean, here's the thing, it's not that crazy, and I think that's kind of the essential point here, is this group is going to do it the way they see fit, and that's what we should welcome. You have that privilege until you screw up enough that we go, I don't trust you anymore, right? I think that's the way we should all be approaching this thing. So it's not what I would do, certainly. It's not what Grant would do, but neither one of us is in charge and shouldn't be in charge, quite frankly. If they go McCarthy, there's a reason for it. It's something thoughtful, right? They've decided because they've seen this quality, this quality, this quality, and they think maybe we can do this now, but we'll be able to do this 2-3 years in the future. We'll ask him to do a lot more than his college coach did, that's for sure, down the line. Or this is the way we want to play. We're going to mirror San Francisco because that's the style that we think wins most consistently. Whatever the approach is, there is one. It's not just whichever way the wind blew or who went to high school with the owner's kid or any of the other stupid crap that we've been dealing with here for 30-plus years. There's a reason for it. Once they fail, if they do, I'm not saying they will, but once this regime fails, then we could start to act accordingly.
Well, they
right?
will fail. Not necessarily at this number two overall pick, not necessarily in this draft class, although probably, but eventually. And the reason I say that is not to be negative. This is an imperfect job.
Mm-hmm.
People have to understand, Adam Peters better get this right. This front office better be right constantly. That's not how it works. The reason we crushed the Marty Party, the reason we took Rivera to task, was because they batted an intolerable batting average. When you don't hit 300, you don't get to keep your gig. Now, they might have hit 170 or something outrageous. You're hoping to hit, in this business, close to 500, and I'd have to look it up to see, is 450 good? Like, if you're 600, you're a Hall of Fame executive. If you're right more often than you're not, you're one of the best to do it. So, yeah, they're going to screw some things up. This is a really, really hard decision. Jaden Daniels might be great, and he might be terrible. Drake May could be the next Josh Allen. He could be out of the league in 5 years. J.J. McCarthy could be a winner who elevates everyone around him right away, or he could be one of the four guys in the draft class from 2 years ago who's already been traded and is going to be a backup this coming year probably with their new team. Some of it is the players. A lot of it might be the situation. Some of it is fit and scheme and playmakers. Like, as an example, if Jaden Daniels goes to Washington, there's a chance he has a lot of success right away. If he ends up with the New England Patriots, I feel terrible for the kid. He's probably screwed. They have no talent. By the way, I would trade back if I was the Patriots. I've thought about this a lot. As adamant as I am that Washington should not trade back, because I think they have enough, and when you pick this high, you almost have to try to get your quarterback. I think there is a line of demarcation. There is basically a threshold with which you have to be above in terms of talent, supporting cast, helpers, contributors.
To give the kid a chance?
Just to give your quarterback an opportunity. And the Patriots are not there. I think whoever goes there is doomed to the point that they should be trying to trade out of the number three pick. If they could get 11, 23, and something else from the Vikings, I would do that. I think they need to load up that roster. They need to add weapons, add talent, wear it for a year with the guy in Jacoby Brissett who played really well when he got to play here in Washington. But if you take Daniels or May or McCarthy, who apparently had a one-on-one sit-down meeting and dinner with Robert Kraft this week, it's being reported. Whoever that is, I just feel for. What an unenviable gig. And it's funny to say this, because Tom Brady just put the finishing touches on one of the best careers ever. But it's a whole new ball game, new front office, new coach. That is not a good place
to
be.
Yeah, they are devoid of positives at this stage. Every position is probably a liability. There's no spot where you go, I feel good about that, right? It's the best that's there, and it's not anybody that would probably be playing for the most part for most teams in the league. It is a bad spot. And this is the thing that I didn't quite understand about their offseason. Not that we're breaking down the Patriots super hardcore, but you need to do kind of what Washington did to a degree. Right? Where you recognize if you're coming in, you go, the talent level here is unacceptable. That's it. That's the story. We're going to go after a whole bunch of people just to try to improve the minimum water level here. So eventually we'll hopefully get back to being pretty good, but we got to give whoever this kid is a chance. This is now a non-starter to me. And for years I was opposed to just drafting the quarterback up high just because I was a believer that you had to build the nest. Now, just given the way off seasons work and how rosters turn over a huge amount anyway, if you have the opportunity, I think you just have to take it. But that would not be a crazy approach to me for them to trade out of that spot and forgo that opportunity because of how bad that roster is.
Our buddy and an alum of Channel 4 in D.C., Diana Rossini, is now the national NFL reporter for The Athletic. She posted today on X. I'm going to read this quote from her Twitter. Teams trying to move up for quarterback calling Washington are being told that they are not moving. Commanders GM Adam Peters has publicly stated that Commanders feel great about staying at 2, picking a quarterback there. So Diana's reporting, and it's been corroborated since Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, Mike Garofolo, all coming out today to say that, in fact, the clubs that are calling Adam Peters in the last 24 hours about trading up to the number 2 pick are being told Washington will not trade back, that they are standing pat, and that they are taking a quarterback. This is not a surprise necessarily, but I will say that I am, it's not stunning, I'm a little bit surprised. I would probably just keep listening to the calls all the way up through me making the pick. Hey, thanks for that. Let me know if you want to give us more. We'll talk soon. Hey, thanks. That's not enough. Appreciate the call, but we're looking for more than that. And just keep them coming back to the well, because who knows eventually what kind of final minute, final hour
That's right.
offer you get. What do you make of the Commanders essentially putting an end to any possibility of trading back, according to the reports, and just telling teams outright, we're not trading off the pick, we're staying at number 2?
I don't like it. And I've said as much when Rivera and company were patting themselves on the back for staying at number 2 to take Chase Young. I was vilified by everybody for saying, no, the best path here is to either take a quarterback or trade back, and everyone call me names. That's what you should be doing. Not necessarily trading back, but listening to offers. There's no obligation to take them. They can make whatever offer they want to you. You can go, no, thanks. You see what I'm saying? Like, why would we ever stop receiving options and receiving data? So my hope is that it's merely a negotiating tactic where you got to come up some, right? So, or hey, unless you get to this stratosphere, stop asking. There's an important distinction to me. If we are not considering it, that's the wrong approach. Consider it. By all means, make the most appropriate decision. But if you got the most ridiculous offer in the history of sports, and you've already said, nope, we're not, we've drawn a line in the sand, don't do that. So I don't love that, to be honest with you. There's no harm in having something that everybody wants and either getting the max for it or using it yourself. So I don't love that. If that's the case, if the reporting, and there's some semantic language in there that's important to me. If it's just we're going to let him keep calling and asking, or we are not interested at all, stop calling us. I don't love that. If it's the latter.
I think it means that they probably know who they're taking. They have made it pretty clear publicly every time they've gotten a chance to answer the question, have you made the decision? Do you know who you're taking? They say, no, not yet. We don't have to know. We don't have to make the decision until it's time to actually announce the pick. But if they are actually telling teams now, we're not trading off of number two, I think that tells me that they probably know who they're taking and that they feel good enough about it that they go, we can't pass this up.
Mm-hmm.
We've decided this is way better than any other possibility. I wouldn't do it the way that they are, if the reporting's correct, to your point. I just don't think there's anything bad about. There's no downside to the phone calls continuing to come in. You just got to hit the answer button, put it up to your ear, and hear what teams are saying. You don't have to be working any harder than that if you're Adam Peters.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, okay, thanks for the offer. We'll make a note of that. Or, yeah, if you want to do better than that, let us know. And it could be that simple. You've got all the leverage, especially, by the way, if one of the reports today from Garofolo was the Raiders have tried to move up. That's 11 spots
mm-hmm.
from outside of the top dozen to two. Do you know how much they would be offering? I mean, you're talking about probably four first-round picks at that point. Now, I'm not saying I would do that because I'm coming out of this draft with a QB, and if you move down to 13, it's either Penix or bust, and you might not even get Penix. Maybe he goes ahead of you. But they want Jaden Daniels. Daniels mm-hmm. wants to be there. That's the kind of match made in heaven for the team and the player. So they'd be coming all the way up. The amount you'd get is astronomical. If you're already telling the Raiders no, they can't add to what is probably a historical package as it is. So I would just play the long game there and just let them keep calling. There's no reason to say we're not trading back. What's the benefit to telling anybody that?
And that's my point, right? Because, again, saying you're open for business doesn't mean you have to conduct the business. There's no obligation to receiving offers. I worked with a guy years ago who was getting heavily recruited by another firm. He was very secure, and he knew that he had inside information, I think, that they desperately wanted him. So when they called, he said, I'm not interested, knowing that they would call back and up the offer. And he did that game a few different times and ended up with 40 or 50% more in terms of base salary and perks and bonuses and things like that. He played it masterfully. I always kind of remembered that, the way that negotiation went. I wouldn't have had the chutzpah to do that because I'd be like, someone likes me? That's so great. I'm leaving. But he was comfortable enough to do that. That's the position Washington is in, right? This isn't flirting. This is, hey, we are desperate to get to that spot. What's it going to take? And if you give them ridiculous criteria and they meet it, then you could do it or still not do it. Again, you're under no obligation. That's kind of the point here. So if it really is shutting it down the way Rivera and company reportedly did that with the number two pick and taking Chase Young, I find that to be short-sighted.
Do you guys think, first of all, are you buying the reporting that they're telling teams already they're not trading the number two pick? Yes or no? And as we open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines for the first time today at 800-636-1067, if, in fact, they have decided they're not going to trade the pick, that they're going to stay put and take a QB at two, do you like that? Does that make you happy? Is that the decision you wanted? Or should a trade down be something that they seriously consider? 800-636-1067. You want to hop in 2 days before the draft on this, the day of Game 2 for the Caps and the Rangers. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai.
There's joy in every journey.
We are 2 days from the NFL draft. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. We're also 4.5 hours from playoff hockey. We'll get you a preview of Game 2, Caps-Rangers coming up at 2:45 right here on G&D. Diana Rossini of The Athletic earlier today saying that teams that are calling Adam Peters about trading up for the number 2 pick are being told Washington will not be trading the pick. That Peters is essentially now just putting out the word that the Commanders are going to stay put at 2 and take their QB. We're asking you if you have any issue, first of all, with them already coming out to say, don't bother calling us. Because my thought is, what's the harm done if someone keeps calling it up in their price? But also, if in fact they're not considering trading back, is that something you're okay with? So quickly, I'll answer both questions and then you can tee them up. First, they shouldn't trade back. They should take the best quarterback they like the most at number 2. You need a quarterback. You're desperate to find your guy. You've been searching in perpetuity, forever and ever and ever. The best chance you've got to get this right is at number 2, so don't trade back. It's perfectly fine with not doing so. That having been said, I am a keep all options open because there's no prize for not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So if the thought is, well, it's pretty clear that they need a QB, they're going to get one at 2, and it doesn't make a lot of sense for them to trade back, so why not just admit that? Well, for a lot of reasons, honestly. But for the same reason you're not telling us who you're taking, you could say you're taking Daniels or May right now, and no one can do anything about it. You're not doing that. There's no benefit to not continuing to answer the phone. So I would let teams keep calling. I would tell them, hey, call back if you've got another offer, all the way up until I put the card in and the player is hugging Roger Goodell with a Commander's hat on.
Yeah, there's no downside to receiving offers. That's something I'll always believe. There's a great moment in Yellowstone when Beth and the company she's working for goes to knocks on this guy's door and is like, how much for your house? And he's like, I'm not selling. She's like, sure you are. Just we'll meet a price. And she goes, say a number. And he goes, I don't know, $10 million. She goes, done. Writes him a check. So he went from, you know, his house was probably worth 2 and he just made 8, right? Or he made 8 extra on his $10 million home purchase because he wasn't thinking about it. You're not thinking about it right now. Let somebody give you that $10 million offer. Figuratively, right? Let someone say, we'll give you 2 first rounders this year, 2 second rounders, a first rounder next year, the year after, multiple second. We will trade forever with you to take this. Let people do that. And if no one, even if they do that, you still have the option to make the pick.
Anthony is out in Dulles where all the airplanes are. What's up, Anthony? How are you?
What's up, guys? This is like 2 in a row. Thank you so much for taking the call again.
Hey, man.
How do you guys feel about this? I know that Danny leans towards Jaden, I myself, and I think Grant, you lean towards Drake May. What would you think? And I totally agree upon keeping the phone lines open until the very last moment. Las Vegas is going to try to push so hard to Washington to trade up to get 2.
Mm-hmm.
What if you would you accept that? And then pre-draft, everything is already done and everything is in place. Washington goes back to 13. They trade back into number 3 with New England to get some picks. And then we take Drake May. Case closed.
So a couple of things, and it's a great
good
phone
call. Thank you.
Thank you. When we start talking about trading back, trading up, unless that's all done before the draft begins,
right?
Essentially,
it's a tough thing to count on that happening.
You cannot
with only one
on
end
that.
Of it. Yeah.
Like to me, I have to know my resolution is I'm getting the quarterback I want. I'm working back from that, which is why trading back to 13 is off the table for me. Because I can't possibly get one of the top 4. And if they, let's just say they really, really like Penix.
Mm-hmm.
If you knew you could get Penix at 13 and trade back with the Raiders, that would be of interest to me. If you loved Penix. You don't even know that. There are teams that could leapfrog you and go up to the top 10. He could go 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 mm-hmm. at that point. So there's just no guarantee of your happy ending, so to speak, where you get the quarterback that we all know that they need. And that's why I'd say no. In this hypothetical, which is a little too fantasy football for me, frankly, where you go back to 13 and then you go back up into the top 5, would I sign up for that? Absolutely, because I think you get picks in Drake May, and that sounds awesome.
You turn a profit and end up with a quarterback in terms of picks.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
That's never happened before, that a team in the top 2 would go back outside of the top 12, then come back into the top 3, and I just think it would be really, really difficult. for what it's worth, I think we need to just acknowledge the difference between pick 13 and pick 2 as an example. So, like, just for context, okay, Washington's supposed to pick at 36 in the second round. That's barely in the second round, fourth pick of that round. That pick is worth, according to the Jimmy Johnson draft value chart, about 540 points. The difference between the second and third pick is roughly 1,500 points. So you're talking about three times as much as pick 36 is worth. So if Vegas was going to come up, think about when Washington gave up two future ones and twos to go get Griffin. They went from 6 to 2. You're coming up four spots to do that. This would be 11 spots. It would be almost three times the haul. That's where I think they could get, if you count this year's first rounder, four first round picks with three future ones, you know, three twos. It would be an unbelievable haul for Peters. If he could then parlay that back into going up, getting New England's pick, sure, I would do that. Now we're talking
hard
about,
to do.
What if you bought a house and sold it, and then you rented the one next door, and then you sold that, and you came out $1 million up? Yeah, I would do that. Now, how do we figure that out? It's probably not going to happen.
Right. It's a massive challenge and undertaking, because basically you're swapping with New England with Vegas as the intermediary. You're profiting a pick. Still, that's assuming also you've got two quarterbacks that are close together. I mean, to me, my paradigm for this draft is, however we do it, let's end up with the future quarterback. So if you're able to tightrope walk with people throwing spears at you and end up with a quarterback and a bunch of extra picks via trade back, I'm excited about that. But that first part's the biggest part to me. The quarterback must be selected.
Kev, Arlington, what's good, buddy?
Hey, boys. So I think there might be some psychology at play here. Just hear me out. During his press conference last week, you know, one of the last questions and answers was Adam saying, yeah, I think we're pretty comfortable where we are at 2. Now Diane comes with the story, you know, they're not taking any more calls. Well, if you want that over-the-top, unbelievable, blow-your-skirt-up offer, wouldn't it be best to say we're done taking calls? People are still going to call, I would say. And so if they truly are looking for the possibility of getting an amazing haul, I don't think it's the wrong strategy to say we're good. Okay, that's that's one way for I'm looking at it, and it'll just be fascinating to see what happens. Can I just say one other thing about this? You all mentioned earlier just how bad New England is, and feeling badly if Daniels ends up having to go there, and I completely agree. Was I the only one who was as shocked as all get out that the Athletic ranked Washington 32 behind New England and others going into this draft?
In terms of what? What was the ranking?
32, Grant. I couldn't believe
it. No, but what was the list?
Like,
was
situation it to be in?
It was where are all 32 teams ahead of the draft?
Like power rankings.
Got it.
Yeah, that makes no sense. I appreciate the phone call. That's just not correct. They've got, we don't need to run through the list right now, but decent talent at wide receiver. They've got, obviously, the defensive tackles. They've got a brand-new owner who's engaged. They've got a GM who knows what he's doing, a new front office structure.
I'm also not saying they're good, but I think New England's a tire fire.
Yeah, nobody's saying they're good. But, I mean, these outlets in the past, they've had them. Hey, this team's going to be worst in football, dead last. And, I mean, this is the third time they're picking in the top two in 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
So generally speaking, they're very mediocre, and they spin their tires in this neutral ground where they're not good. They're not terrible enough to get that much better, and that's been the frustration. Luckily, they drafted terribly enough and picked in free agency poorly enough that the bottom finally fell out this year with his coaching staff. Jared's in Greenbelt on Grant and Danny. How do you feel about this report that the Commanders are reportedly telling teams they won't be trading the number 2 pick still 2 days out from the draft?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller here.
Thanks, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah. So I just wanted to say the previous caller actually took some of my thunder here. I think this is a process-oriented management group that we have here now. Like he said, they've kind of tipped their hand before saying that they're comfortable saying it to taking a QB. I don't think it necessarily means that we're taking the phone off the hook. We don't want to hear any more calls. If anything, it's raising that value a little bit. So say they got a call maybe a couple of weeks ago saying we'll offer XYZ picks. I think that price is only going up as we get closer to the draft. So I've got faith in Peters, man. I think we do stand pat and take our QB, whether that be May or Daniels. But
or McCarthy, by the way. I know that nobody's really talking about him, but I would not rule that out. If we're saying there's a chance it's not Daniels who everyone's assuming, then I think you've also got to be open to the non-zero possibility that this team, who has not let anything get out, that's not talking or telling anybody anything, might surprise everybody and take J.J. McCarthy. As should be the case, look at the sports books. Daniels is the heavy favorite. May is an option. But you know, anyone who says that they know for sure what they're doing, I think, is lying to you.
Agreed.
It's a new GM and a new owner and a new head coach, and they've never done this, some of them, ever before. So we just don't know what their proclivities are. They could absolutely shock everybody.
So two guys have brought this up. I want to say this real quick. I actually do think it's possible, by the way, that this is merely psychological or just another way to raise potential offers. Right? Because, again, you're under no obligation. So if that's – and I'm, you know, just again, I'm reacting to what the reports are. I think there is a distinction that needs to be made between, yeah, I'm not interested, and then people keep calling you, or if it's stop calling, we don't want to hear from you anymore. Right?
Yeah, that's
I think it's an important thing. Yeah.
And Diana Rossini's report was – they're being told Washington's not moving the pick. I don't think they're saying stop calling, but the difference between we don't plan on moving the pick and, hey, there's no chance we're making a trade.
Mm-hmm.
Semantics, but they are very, very different.
It matters.
We got Colt McCoy coming up in 20 minutes on the show. Colt's awesome at breaking down quarterbacks. If you guys haven't heard him or seen him doing that throughout this draft process online, he's got a series where he sat down with Drake May and talked to a bunch of these guys. We're going to have him on the show coming up at the top of the hour. I know he's a big Jaden Daniels fan, but he's got a deep dive analysis to give us on all the different QBs. He also played for Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona when Kingsbury was the head coach, so we can get his insight on this offense and who's going to be the best fit. So make sure you're listening in 20 minutes. Next on The Fan, we will continue to hit the calls on the possibility of a trade back. Sounds like the Commanders want nothing to do with it. Also need to preview the Caps and the Rangers. 7 o'clock, game 2 tonight. A gotta-have-it tilt for Washington as they try to get back into their series with the New Yorkers. You're listening to The Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Out of McElrath and along the wing to Wilson. And toward Farivari along the wing left side to Protas. In behind the net. Room for Wilson. They score! And a puck tipped in front and in past Shesterkin. Washington is on the board on a tip in front against Igor Shesterkin.
That's what it's going to take to beat Igor Shesterkin. That was John Walton, as heard here on The Fan from Game 1. Caps Rangers. Welcome back. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Our Caps playoff coverage is sponsored by our friends at PVI Office Furniture. Get to their showroom in Frederick, Maryland today to score big with their Power Play playoff special. 20% off your new office chair. Fast, excellent, affordable. Business grows with PVI. Danny, pretty simple for me as far as some keys tonight for the Capitals. So number one, they got to get more pucks to the net, starting with Ovechkin. Zero shots on goal in game one, had 5 blocked, 2 wide of the cage. He's got to be not only more involved, but they got to find a way to get him in positions to get shots through. Scored 13 goals in the final 17 games of the regular season, was a key cog for Washington's offense. And it's not like they had a lot of it, by the way. They came into the postseason scoring 2 or fewer goals in 10 of 11. So you need Lindgren to be great. You need to be really sharp on the penalty kill, which they were 2-for-2 in the first game. But on the other side, from a power play standpoint, the Rangers' PK is great. They finished 3rd in the NHL. They were really aggressive. Basically didn't let the Caps get into the offensive zone very much. I think they've got to be better at even strength 5-on-5 at generating shots. They only had 18 And that one goal was on basically a deflected puck off of a Ferravari skate and then a Ranger skate. And they've also just got to be better on the power play for sure, starting with getting more out of Ovechkin. And if they're going to take him away by planting someone at his skates, that's fine. Now you're 4-on-3.
Mm-hmm.
Move the puck and let's get after it a little bit here.
To me, zone exits are massive. You cannot turn it over on your end against a team with this kind of firepower. You saw it. One little moment, a failed clear or something that wasn't ideal and perfect, boom, 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 tic-tac-toe, you know, shot gets sniped into the corner. I'd add everything that you said as well. But just it's got to be mucked up. It's got to be ugly at times. I don't think playing end-to-end breakout hockey is really in the cards to be able to beat this team that's just got more firepower than you. They're not that fast, the Rangers. I mean, they've got good skaters, but it's not like they're playing Toronto or somebody, which they'd match up with terribly. But you had a successful first period. I know there were a ton of penalties and it was choppy, but to me, that's the game. If you do that more often, then everybody gets puckered, then you can win a game with that thing that hits off seven skates and deflects it.
They also just barely ever got set up offensively at even strength. I mean, how often do you remember the puck being behind the cage or them cycling?
Literally a handful of times it felt like.
You could go, who do they need more from on offense? And do you remember McMichael or Oshie? I mean, there just weren't moments, right? They didn't do a whole lot with the puck. Strom was pretty quiet. They had a bunch of shots late from Alexi Protas. He and John Carlson combined for 11 of 21 shots on goal in the game. Interestingly, tonight, Lucas Johansson's getting a shot on the blue line because of the injury suffered. Vinny Iorio has played fewer than 10 games. Johansson's coming up now from the minor leagues to play in a playoff game, and I'd imagine he's not going to play a whole lot. They'll do with him what they did with Iorio, who only had two shifts in the first period. But it means a ton of minutes for John Carlson, Martin Ferravari. Alexander Alexiev's going to play a lot more maybe than he traditionally would have to, and Dylan McIlrath as they continue to try to get Rasmus Sandin and Nick Jensen, who have been skating with non-contact sweaters, closer to a return and being able to log big minutes. Game 2 tonight, Madison Square Garden. More on the game coming up in our Beltway Blitz at 4 o'clock today here on Grant and Danny. We'll be joined for a Caps breakdown by our buddy Ben Raby of the Capitals Radio Network. Question for you guys on the phones at 800-636-1067. In regards to the number 2 overall pick, there's a report saying the Commanders are already telling teams they're not going to trade back. You cool with that? Jay's in D.C. What's up, Jay?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
Good. Hey, listen. I think Peters is still playing a bit of chess and some poker here because I can't believe that both of the quote-unquote reports and or rumors, whatever, I can't believe both of them could be true. Here's what I'm saying. I don't believe he stopped telling people that he's not taking any more calls or he's not taking any call because the other report says he hasn't made up his final mind yet. So if you haven't made up your mind, why would you stop tell people, no, I'm not taking any calls?
Well, do you believe that he hasn't made up his mind, I guess, would be the follow-up to that. But he did say that, although I would point out he acknowledged when he said that, it was last week, and he said, we're probably going to figure it out and come to our decision early next week. Well, it's early next week, and the draft's in 2 days. It's Tuesday. The report was, as of this afternoon, he's telling teams they're not moving back. So I think both can be true. He said he didn't know last week that early this week they would have their mind made up, and it seems like their mind's made up, and they know who they want. Matt's in Bowie, home of the Bay Sox. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. I actually live near Bowie Bay Sox Stadium, but that's neither here nor there.
You're seeing some studs come through there for the Orioles, I'll tell you that much.
Yes, sir. But I think that Adam Peters, I mean, because, you know, GMing is a relationships game. So if he is telling people that he's no longer done, which maybe he's just told those people who called, I'm not trading with you because they don't have a high enough pick for him. But if he is telling them that, maybe he's trying to build relationships in terms of, like, not wasting people's time that will then
smart point.
Grow seed that will, bloom later on for future trades, future negotiations, things like that. So maybe it's trying to be professional and not blow smoke up somebody's skirt.
That's interesting, like you said, because Grant, he's probably got – thanks for the call,
appreciate
buddy.
Appreciate you, dude.
It's thought-provoking. He's got a lot of relationships already, and he's buddies with a lot of people from the scouting community. But it's your first crack as a GM. So if you start trading information and maybe misleading or annoying people with feeling like they were led on or whatever, who knows how that materializes down the road. Umir is in Sterling on Grant and Danny. What's up? You will get nothing, and you will like it. Danny is in Rochester.
Danny.
Home of the Red Wings. What's up, Danny?
Home of the Red Wings. Have not seen James Wood at Wegmans lately, so sorry.
If you did, though, he might be getting some chocolate milk, right?
Possibly. Anyway, they're going to trade back. They're 100% going to trade back.
I love it.
Because they said they won't, so they will.
That
right?
means they will.
No. This is the exact same thing John Lynch did when he got to San Francisco. He played the Bears forever, said, we're not going to trade. Traded back the one spot, got a heap, took Solomon Thomas, who was the guy he wanted to begin with. Guys, this is, I believe Adam Peters was there that year. And also, I think Adam Peters, he comes from multiple organizations that don't typically take the bite on the hot quarterback. The Patriots, how many times did they draft somebody in the fourth round, fifth round, who became a starter in the NFL? Jimmy Garoppolo, Jacoby Brissett, Matt Castle, like all these guys. So I don't think Jaden Daniels, even though, or Drake May, even though on Twitter it looks like it's the end of the world if we don't take one of those guys, I think Adam Peters would be more than happy to have one of the other three guys at number 8, 9, 10, 11. I don't know if they're there.
Thanks, Danny, and keep your eyes peeled at Wegmans, please. By the way, year one for Peters in San Fran was that Trubisky draft, so he was there.
He was in school then, yeah.
A guy who knows Cliff Kingsbury, what he might be thinking, who's also done a deep dive into all these quarterbacks, longtime friend of the show and former Redskins QB, Colt McCoy, joins us next on G&D.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.